Well, good morning again, everybody. It's great to see you this morning. I just want to encourage you, get out there and get your Operation Christmas Child boxes, okay? I think we gave out like 100 last year. Our church is like twice that size. So come on, we got to set the bar high. I want to see those boxes gone. All right, how many of you guys are going to get out there and get at least two boxes? Not one, at least two. I'm looking around. All right, I'm seeing your hands. Come on, let's love on these kids, man. It's just a great opportunity to love on some kids who are in need. So get out there and get those boxes. I want to see them wiped out, all right? Awesome. Well, it's great to see you this morning. If I haven't met you yet, my name's Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. It's so great to have you with us. I know we got some new people with us this morning. If you're a first-time guest, welcome, welcome. We're so glad you're with us this morning as we kick off a new series called Under God. Well, I don't know if you guys have heard, but there's this little event happening Tuesday. Is anybody aware that we're having a general election on Tuesday? Anybody aware of this? How many of you are just ready for it to be over with? Anybody? Like you're just sick and tired. How many of you have like election just like anxiety? Like you're just ready to be done with it? I recently saw a story in the news about a hotel that was offering a special election getaway package. And here's the package. They had all of the cable news channels blocked out on the television. And then if you got a newspaper at the hotel, if there were any headlines about the election or politics, they were blacked out as well. I'm like really thinking about checking into this hotel this next week. Anybody want to go with me? I mean, seriously, that sounds really, really nice. And look, I know we've got people like all over the map here when it comes to politics. And let's really be grown up about this, okay? No booing and hissing this morning, okay? Because we're going to be actually electing someone this Tuesday. And, you know, two things. We're going to know how to pray and how to complain, okay? Two things will be very clear for us on Tuesday. But, you know, some of you may be actually, you know, energized about the election. Maybe you feel like Donald Trump can make America great again. Maybe you feel like, you know, you're excited about Hillary and the prospect of having the first woman president and progress, all those good things. Some of you might be voting for a third party candidate to kind of stick it to both of them. maybe some of you are voting, you're casting your vote more against one candidate than for someone else. I'm kind of like in that camp. And then there's some of you who are like packing your bags and thinking about moving to Canada. Anybody? Yeah, there's you know, a lot of us in a lot of different places when it comes to how we feel about this election. I think most of us are just ready to be done with it. People actually have like anxiety and stress over this election because we've just been inundated with it. It's just been too much. But I think the question we're after in this series and today is, you know, what's our response as Christians? Now listen, I am by no means going to tell you how to vote in this series. And when I say that, it's not going to be like one of those secret things where I tell you not to vote and then I kind of preach how I want you to vote. Nope, don't believe that at all. In fact, today we're going to talk more about our response as Christians. But here's the question that I think we're after. Like, how do we respond to the political climate we find ourselves in at this time in our nation? What's our responsibility as Christians? And I really believe as Christians, we're called to be influencers. I believe Jesus called us to be salt and light in our world. We're supposed to be influencers, which means we're supposed to make a difference in every sphere of our culture. And I think politics is one of those spheres. In fact, we have some great people in our church who have served in public office. They've served our communities, who are believers. But the question is, like, how do we do that in a healthy, God-honoring way, right? How do we do that as citizens of the kingdom of God? What does it mean for us as Christians to do that? Who, you know, people who have this allegiance to God's kingdom. That's the question we're after. We're going to be talking about that for the next few weeks. We're going to be looking at some scriptures that guide us and kind of give us some wisdom on how do we navigate these turbulent times. But first, let's talk about the Pledge of Allegiance, which is kind of the inspiration for this series. Now, if you grew up in the U.S., and I know many of you did and some of you didn't because this is New York after all. We got a very multicultural, awesome church with people from all over the world. But if you grew up in the U.S., this is something you recited every day, right? Like you can say it in your sleep. I mean, I actually haven't said the pledge in a long time, but it's something we said all the time as kids. And here it is, right? I pledge allegiance. You can say it with me for fun if you want to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Good job. I'm so glad you paid attention in elementary school. You ought to give yourself a hand. Very nice job. So Here's the question, though. Some of you may actually be surprised, especially those of you who are from other places, may be surprised to find that Christians actually pledge their allegiance to the flag of a nation. And I think here's a question we should ask ourselves today. How far does our allegiance to this nation go? There's a really, really good question, okay? As a Christian, is my allegiance first and foremost to America or to the kingdom of God? Am I an American Christian or am I a Christian who happens to live in America? Like, where does the lines, you know, go? How far and how deep does our allegiance to our nation run? Now, hear me out here, okay? I love America. This isn't about to be like a communist conspiracy theory message, okay? I love our nation. I was raised in a patriotic home. My dad served in the military. We flew the flag, all that stuff is great. Love our country. Know we're blessed to live here. Thank God for the freedoms we have here, for the freedom of speech that I get to do what I'm doing today, for the freedom of worship that we can gather and assemble. You know, there are some nations where what we're doing right now would be considered illegal, and we would have to go underground to even gather and worship. There are places like that in this world. I'm thankful for the opportunities we have here. I'm thankful for the education that you can get here. I'm thankful for the economic opportunities that are here. I'm thankful that in America, you can start a business and you can work hard and you can prosper. I have been to nations. I have visited places where people don't have the opportunities that we have here. So I'm very thankful for our nation. But I need to say something important, especially this time of year. We've been so inundated with all this election and politics stuff. In God's eyes, America is not the promised land. How many of you know that's true? We are not God's chosen nation. We are not God's favorite nation. The scripture says, for God so loved the world. Are you with me? It is pompous and arrogant to think that we are the center of the universe. We might be the most powerful nation, the most powerful superpower, the greatest military might in the world, but we are by no means God's favorite nation. We are not the promised land, and I don't think God really cares any more about our election than he does about elections anywhere else. I hate to tell you that, and sometimes living in this nation, we kind of have this bubble that we find ourselves in, especially when we're so inundated. I see a lot of Christians freaking out like it's the end of the world when election time comes. And I want to just say, take a breather, take a chill pill, man, and relax, because God is in control. As followers of Jesus, we have a higher calling. How many of you know that's true? And a greater loyalty. We're one nation under God, but we're a different kind of nation. We're a different kind of nation. We're a special kind of people. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are God's people. We are the church. We are followers of Jesus, and that's our greatest allegiance. That's our highest loyalty. We're loyal to our country, but we worship a different king. And I think we need to keep that in mind. We need to keep that in perspective. More importantly than how we vote, more importantly than what political party we affiliate with, I think first and foremost, the one thing that can save us, the one thing that can keep us sane, the one thing that can keep us functioning as God-fearing, Jesus-loving people is to remember that our highest allegiance is to the kingdom of God. See, you're not just an American, okay? Whether you were born in this nation or whether you came here and you became a citizen, or you're just living here for work or school or whatever, we're not just Americans. We're all called to be ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Let me show you a scripture. We're going to be looking at a lot of different scriptures today in the New Testament. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 through 20, the Apostle Paul writes something. This is one of my favorite chapters of scripture in all the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this is from the NIV. This is what the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He says, and he, God, has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That's the gospel. That's this wonderful news that God is reconciling himself to humanity and reconciling humanity to each other in the midst of our brokenness. He's committed to us this message of reconciliation, the gospel message. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Love that scripture, because you know what that tells me? That God does something through us that he can only do through us. In other words, the church has such an important job that if we don't do it, Jesus is not revealed to the world. God literally has entrusted his work and his kingdom to us, so much so that people who otherwise would have no idea what God is like can come into contact with him, and God reveals himself through us, through our work as believers, as Christians. Do you know that's what God has always wanted? a people who would represent him in this world and would do his work. Do you know that's what the Old Testament was about? When you open the Old Testament, you read about the Israelites, the people of God in the Old Testament. It wasn't that God just wanted to create this nice little nation to represent him. He wanted a people who would do his work in the world, who would carry his presence in this world. Do you know that's what the New Testament, that's what the church is about, Jew and Gentile alike, people from all different places and backgrounds coming together to be the people of God, his ambassadors, to represent him in this world. That's what we're called to do. See, you are an ambassador, a representative sent by God from heaven to earth. If you're taking notes today, you need to write that down. We gave you some note sheets when you came in. That's not just a color and doodle if you get bored during the sermon. Write something down. Put some notes in your phone. Put this in your notes. You're an ambassador sent by God from heaven to earth with a divine mission to represent Jesus, to represent the King. You know, the ambassador is the highest ranking diplomat sent as a representative from one nation to another. Right? We have a lot of diplomats in the New York City area because we have several countries represented in the city. And we have a diplomatic community here in Westchester. In fact, just the other day, I was driving and I saw somebody in front of me who was a diplomat. But the official embassies in this nation are in Washington, D.C., right? Because that's where the ambassadors live, because they are the highest representative of whatever nation they are sent from, representing that nation to our country. Do you understand that's who we're called to be? We are called to be the highest representatives of God in the world. God can reveal himself in a lot of different ways. God can reveal himself in nature. God can reveal himself in people's moral conscience. God can reveal himself in a sense of right and wrong. He can do the miraculous, but he chooses to work through those who are sent by him as the highest representation of his kingdom. And the Apostle Paul says that's who we are. We are ambassadors. And so I want to give you some thoughts about your mission as an ambassador. Three things I want to encourage you to put down in your notes today. Three thoughts about your mission as an ambassador of Christ. Here it is. Number one, you are chosen and appointed by God. You are chosen and appointed by God. Everybody say chosen. You're chosen as an ambassador, as a representative of Christ. You've been chosen and you've been appointed by God. Look at this verse, John chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." He says, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you. I called you as disciples to follow me, and I gave you a job so that you might go and do what? So that you might go and fight with people on social media about politics. So that you might go and preach to everybody in a very self-righteous way. So that you might go and have a Christian bumper sticker on your car. No. So that you might do what? So that you might bear fruit, fruit that will last." What does this mean? What is this fruit thing all about? What does this mean? This is talking about doing the work of the kingdom, right? Jesus said, I've called you so that you can bear fruit, so that you produce something, so you do the work of the kingdom, so that you love God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. You love your neighbor as yourself. You live generously. You share the gospel in word and in deed. You serve the poor. You make a difference in this world. I've given you some stuff to do. You know what this tells me? This tells me that my job is not to be a Christian for 1 hour a week on Sunday morning. This means that righteous living looks like something. To be a follower of Jesus looks like something. And we should have some fruit in our lives to bear evidence of that. That's what he's saying. I love this word picture of fruit. I love this word picture that he gives us because it reminds us that our lives should be producing something. The Holy Spirit working in us should be producing something. Is your life more filled this year than last year this time with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness? That's the fruit of the Spirit. Or are you a more generous person than you were when you first came to Christ? Do you love the poor more? Do you have a bigger heart of compassion? Are you closer to God? Are you walking with him closer than you were when you first placed your trust in him? See, that's fruit. We need to examine the fruit of our lives because Jesus has called us as his ambassadors. He's chosen us. He's appointed us to represent him and to bear fruit, to do the work of his kingdom. We have a big, big job to do here. You know, politicians and government officials, they're elected by us in a democracy, right? We the people. The people rule in a democracy, right? It's our privilege to elect them. And guess what that means? We get to criticize them, right? We get to hold them accountable. We get to make fun of them in amazing sketches on Saturday Night Live. If there's anything that's good that's come out of this election, there's been some great SNL sketches, right? If nothing else, the world might be going to hell in a handbasket, but we're laughing at Saturday Night Live. But you, listen, politicians are elected by the people, so they're held accountable by the people. But you and I, we're not elected. We've been appointed by God to represent him. We're appointed by him to be his people, to be his representatives in this world. And so you are not what other people say you are. Are you with me this morning? See, politicians are always living by what people say about them. They have to pay attention to polls, and they have to pay attention to approval ratings. But you and I have been appointed by God. We have a job to do. We have work to do. You've been chosen by him. And so other people, their thoughts about you don't define who you are. Some of you have some voices in your life of what people have said about you, what you can't do, what you can do, the kind of person that you are, that kind of limits you embracing all that God has called you to be. Listen, you aren't even who you think you are. In some cases, some of you have some self-defeat inside of you. There's some hurts that you carry around. You've taken, you know, some dings and some hurt to your self-respect and your self-confidence. And you have these voices in your mind that limit you and limit what you can become. But you have to get this in your mind. You are a follower of Jesus. To be a Christian is not just to come to church for 1 hour on a Sunday and belong to a religious organization. No, you are appointed by God. You're called by God. You have divine power to make a difference in this world. Are you with me? You have divine power to make a difference in this world. These politicians are just elected, but you've been appointed. You've been called. See, I'm turning the tables on you because for the last few months and years, we've been obsessed about getting the right person elected so they can fix things. But God's calling us to do his work, to build his kingdom, to make a difference. And you have divine power to do the work that God's called you to do, to bear fruit. You have the help of the Holy Spirit working in you. That's who you are. As Christ's ambassador, number two, you're a royal priest of God. You're a royal priest of God. You say, okay, I'm an ambassador, I'm a priest. Boy, Pastor Jeremy, you're throwing a lot at me this morning. But this is who you are. Look at what the Apostle Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, another one of my favorite scriptures. He says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Listen to those words, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Come on, turn to somebody and say, I'm a royal priest. Come on, say it all cocky. I'm a royal priest. Who are you looking at? I'm a royal priest. Come on, say it like you mean it. See, this is what God has always wanted. This is what God has always wanted, a group of people to represent him in this world, a group of people to carry his presence in this world. That's what the church is all about. And I think this idea is really difficult for us because we have a certain picture in mind when we think of a priest. Yeah, I think we tend to think of that, you know, the collar, you know, and the person who's taken the vow of chastity and the vow of poverty, and we kind of put priests in this special category. So when you read a scripture like this that we're called to be a royal priest, I think for many of you that's a really foreign idea because you grew up with that picture in mind of what a priest is. And I don't mean to demean the priesthood at all, but I want you to get this truth of who you're called to be. Every one of us as followers of Jesus Christ, you're not exempt. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you consider yourself to be a Christian, then you've been called. You're a chosen person. You've been called to this office of a royal priesthood. Now, how many of you remember the name Martin Luther from world history class? Anybody in here? It's okay. We won't judge you if you don't remember. Martin Luther was the father of the Protestant Reformation. In fact, this past Monday on Halloween, the world celebrated the 499th anniversary of Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses to the doors of the All Saints, the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. Essentially, it was a protest against the corruptions of the church in his time. And it set something into motion. It was one of the key factors, one of the key sparks that sparked the Protestant Reformation to deal with corruptions that had happened in the church. In fact, I was privileged years ago to travel to Wittenberg, Germany. My brother was a campus missionary in Berlin, and I went to visit him, and we got to go to Wittenberg. It was amazing. I got to see the castle doors where Martin Luther nailed up his 95 Theses, where he lived, where he pastored, where he did his work. It was an incredible, incredible experience to know that what this man did echoed around the world and set something into motion. But one of Luther's greatest reforms was a teaching that he emphasized, a truth that he recovered from the scripture. And it's the truth of the priesthood of all believers. Have you ever heard of this before? That's a phrase that Luther coined straight from his mouth. The priesthood of all believers. Here's the idea. The idea is that the essence of Christian living is serving God in any useful calling. It's this idea that we're all priests of God. It goes right back to 1 Peter chapter 2, the verse that we just looked at, that every one of us is called to be a spiritual influencer. Every one of us is called to carry the presence of God with us. And so here's what Luther was saying. It's not that only priests and nuns and teachers and missionaries have the call of God in their life, but he uncovered a truth that the everyday Christian, every believer has the call of God on their life to carry God's presence into this world. And whatever you're doing in life, whatever your vocation is, you bring God's presence with you. This past week, I went to see Justin, who leads our production team and plays in our band. He didn't know I was going to share this, but Justin's a doctor of physical therapy. Thank you, doctor. And his hands are anointed of God. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for Justin's hands, because I was hurting this week. I've been having some neck pain and some back pain, too many hours logged on the computer, and Justin worked on me. He hurt me really good. It was great. It hurt in a good way. He fixed me up. But as we were talking, Justin talked about how he gets up many mornings and prays and gets ready for his day to treat his patients, and how he really sees a difference some days when he's prayed up, and how he treats his patients and how he's able to bless them. And I thought, what a great example. What a great example of what it means to be a priest in your workplace, to be a priest in everyday application. See, whatever it is you're doing, whether you're a student, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you have a career in the workplace, whatever you do, doctor, lawyer, teacher, manager, construction worker, whatever it is that you do, you are a priest of God. You carry God's presence with you wherever you go. And we have to get our heads around this, because I think we struggle to believe this. Because I think we see this priest thing as being a special category. Now listen, are there certain people who have the call of God on their life and the church collectively witnesses this and recognizes this and lays hands on them and ordains them like myself? Yes, it's a special feature, a special calling to lead the church. But we all have this same calling to carry God's presence, to be a spiritual influencer. That's what it means to be a priest. It means God has called you to be a spiritual influencer. Newsflash, your prayers are as effective as mine. Your prayers are as powerful as mine. You have the same Holy Spirit in you that any ordained pastor or priest has in them. How many of you know that's true? We're all called to carry God's presence with us. Let me give you an example of this, okay? Let's say you belong to a life group here at our church. We believe that we need to be in relationship with each other. We need to be growing together, and we need each other. We need to be in community. So we have these things called life groups where people meet throughout the week and they pray together and they build relationships and they study God's word together. So if you're in a life group and somebody in your life group's in need, let's say somebody's sick, right? And you pray for them and you check up on them. Maybe you cook a meal for them and you take it to them and you bless them. Did you know you're doing the work of a pastor? You're doing the work of a priest? That's a priestly ministry. See, I want you to get this. There is no special ranking in the kingdom of God. Every one of us, we are called to carry God's presence with us wherever we go. And so I want you to feel encouraged wherever you go in the workplace, whatever you're doing in life, like you are called to have spiritual influence. And listen to me, you might feel like, I know there's some struggles right now for some of you. Right now you're hearing this and you're saying, but Pastor Jeremy, you don't understand. I don't really know the Bible that well. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't go to Bible college like you. I don't really know how to pray out loud. You kind of maybe, you know, you have all of these disqualifiers in your mind. But listen to me, if you're a Christian, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit and you have the presence of God with you. And I'm telling you, if the presence of God goes with you, amazing things can happen anywhere you go. Amazing things can happen with you. Somebody ought to clap your hands right now. God can do things through you that you could never imagine. Never imagine. He can work through you. And so you got to get a hold of this belief and really believe it. You never know how God can change the atmosphere around you, in your workplace, in your home, in your situation. God's presence can work through you. Wouldn't it be amazing if people just noticed something was different about you? Wouldn't it be amazing if the hostile atmosphere in your workplace shifted because of the presence of God in your life? how that would change things. How would it change things to really embrace the presence of God when you come home and your kids are acting up and it's one of those crazy days in your house, to really just embrace the presence of God in your home and working through you? All right, here's the third thing. As Christ's ambassador, you always represent Christ. You always represent Christ. Here's what the Apostle Peter said. He went on to say this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. He said, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Listen, this was a time of persecution. I mean, if ever there was a difficult time to live in the reality of this verse, it was this time. The church was being persecuted. It was not easy to be a Christian. We have no idea what it was like for the early Christians. And here's what Peter says. This is what the Apostle Peter challenges the people of God to do. He says, "Live such good lives among these pagans, these people who hate you, who persecute you, who judge you, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God because of your example." Here's what he's saying. Don't worry about what everyone else believes or thinks about you. Concern yourself with how you live, because you represent Christ and people take notice. Come on, how many of you know the church needs to get a hold of this? There are a lot of Christians who are worried about how everybody else lives. They want to preach to everybody else. They want to judge everybody else. They want to fix everybody else, but they haven't spent a whole lot of time looking at what's going on inside of them. The Apostle Peter's saying, get yourself right. Get concerned about how you live first and let your life preach. That doesn't mean you shouldn't use some words every now and then. But here's what he's saying to us. Be very concerned with how you live your life, because if you are a follower of Christ, you represent Christ. You're not exempt from this. Every one of us represents Christ if you consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus, and people take notice. Come on, let's just make this real for a moment. How would it look? How would this look in your life if people really took notice of you? People really knew that you were a person of integrity. You're a person who did the things you said you were going to do. You kept your word. You were an honest person. If people just knew you to be a godly person, a wise person, the kind of person they could go to for advice, the kind of person that they could go to when they needed encouragement, maybe even prayer. Maybe they don't believe like you. Maybe they're not quite where you are. If you know, for those of you who are followers of Jesus and you're at that place, maybe they don't even accept what you believe, right? But they see something about you. They see that your life lines up with who you claim to be. Think about the difference that would make in your sphere of influence and the people around you, the people who are looking at you. Because I'm telling you, people notice. People notice. You know, my greatest disappointment this election season, my wife will tell you, I've talked about it a whole lot around the house. I've been grieved at how Christians have behaved so poorly in representing Christ in the midst of this nasty political season that we've been in. I mean, just have you noticed the nasty things that people post on social media? I mean, people that you otherwise like to be around on social media, they're just nasty. Come on, anybody notice this stuff? Y'all are just, come on, you, is it only me? There's some nasty people out there, man. There's some people, I just want to like tase them or something. Like, dude, you can't post that. You can't be a Christian and post that. We're going to tase you after church. No, nobody in this church, thank God, but some other people that I used to pastor. Seriously, I'll brag on you as a church. You guys have been pretty good. But seriously, it's bad, man. It really is. Like, it grieves me. It grieves me that people don't understand how bad. I've actually messaged some of my friends and been like, please, like, if you're going to post that, like, don't tell people you're a Christian. Like, I privately messaged them. I'm like, because, dude, what you don't understand is, like, all of your unchristian friends that saw what you just posted, like, you just lost them, and you don't even realize that. Like, don't do it because of me, you know? I had a lady reach out to me, a lady that I used to pastor in our old church upstate. Dear woman of God, must be like in her 80s. I mean, just saint of God, sweet woman. I married her son. I did her grandson's wedding just a few months ago. She messaged me privately on Facebook to ask my opinion about something because she had the feeling that, like, we didn't quite agree politically. And she was very nice. And of course, I wrote her back a very warm and, like, loving response, asked her how her family was doing, and I told her how we felt, and I set her straight. No, I'm just kidding. But, I gave her my opinion and was very kind. And she wrote me back, like, shocked. Like, the first thing she wrote was, thank you so much, Pastor, for, like, your kind response. Like, she was almost, like, thankful that I didn't, like, curse her out on Facebook, you know? Because, like, politics has gotten so bad, like, Christians have just lost it toward each other. And I'm thinking, this is like a dear saint of God, like an 80-year-old woman, like, I'm gonna write her back this, like, nasty message on Facebook because we don't completely agree about politics. Are you kidding me? That's how bad things have gotten. But, you know, here's the thing, you know, we want politicians to keep their promises. Come on, how many of you know these people are running, and no matter whether you're left or right, Democrat or Republican, all these people are making promises of these things they're going to do for us. How many of you know that's true? How many of you would like to see these politicians keep their promises for once? Come on, if they're saying they cut taxes, come on, go through with it and cut some taxes. Hallelujah, please, right? If you're going to do something to help, do something to help. Quit just talking about it. Anybody with me this morning? I thought you might be a little more excited about that, right? We might like to see that, right? But here's the thing. What if as the Church of Jesus Christ, we kept our promises? What if as the Church of Jesus Christ, the people of God, those who are called to represent him in this world, what if we kept our promises? What if we were known for being the most loving, generous, compassionate people in the world? What if the church was known for that? Sadly, the church is known for all kinds of stuff. But man, wouldn't it be great if we were known for being just the humblest people, servants of God, just compassionate, loving people, people who are engaged, people who are meeting needs, people who are making a difference in our community, people who are turning the world upside down? What if people who didn't even know if they believed the same thing as us, didn't know what they thought about Jesus, maybe they followed different religions, different philosophies, but what if when they thought about Christians, that's what they thought of, the most loving, generous, kind people on the face of the earth? How would that change things? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? How many of you guys want to campaign for that kind of reputation for the church? Because I think we need to make promises on who God has called us to be. That's who we're called to be. Do you know that's how the early church won over the Roman Empire? Because when Peter was writing this, he was writing to people who were living under the oppression of the Roman Empire, the pagan Roman Empire. And these Christians were so genuine, were so loving, and were so giving that these pagan Romans saw something in them that they wanted, and they saturated and influenced the Roman Empire and turned the whole thing upside down. It can be done again, folks. You think the times are dark right now? They're nothing compared to what the early church was born into. And so here's what I want to say to you today. No matter where you're at in life, no matter what political affiliation you have, no matter how you're going to cast your vote on Tuesday, you always represent Christ. You always represent Christ. You belong to Christ. You're not just a regular Christian. There's no such thing as a regular Christian. You are anointed and appointed. You are called. You are equipped. You have the Holy Spirit in you. God has given you his presence, and you are called to make a difference. Are you with me this morning? And that's what we need to remember. I want to pray for you this morning. Worship team's going to come back, and we're going to receive communion in just a moment. Why don't you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray. We're going to take a moment to pray for our nation, and we're going to pray for God to help us embrace everything he's called us to be. But before we pray, let me just talk to you for one last moment. You know, some of you might say, well, Pastor Jeremy, aren't you worried about the election? You know, aren't you anxious that, you know, that we're losing our freedoms, or the world's going to become a worse place, or don't you see what's happening around us? Like, aren't you concerned about it? No, I'm really not, to be honest with you, because I'll tell you why. I gave up hope a long time ago in who's president of the United States of America. I'll be honest with you. Doesn't mean I don't care. Doesn't mean I don't want to see the most, you know, the best candidate, the person with the best character. Hey, a godly person in the White House would be nice. All of those things are fine. But here's the truth. I quit placing my trust a long time ago, my ultimate hope in who is in the White House. No. I'll stick with Jesus. I'll hedge my bets on God. I'll trust in him, because here's the truth. No matter what happens on Tuesday, here's what's going to happen. On Wednesday morning when you wake up, God is going to be sovereign. Come on, God is in charge. God is not going to be shocked by who got elected. God was God a long time ago. He was God before you were born. He was God before there was ever such a thing as the United States of America. He was God before Hillary or Donald was born. And he's not going to be upset or shaken or surprised at the outcome of this election. When you say, well, Pastor Jeremy, don't you think God has one of them, you know, that he's appointed? No. I think God is sovereign. And in his sovereignty, he's allowed us to have free will to cast a vote. That's how I think he's going to determine who becomes president. Can he orchestrate? Can he work? He can do anything. God spoke through a donkey in the Bible. If he can speak through a jackass, he can speak through a politician. And I don't mean to demean our politicians, because we need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. You say, well, Pastor Jeremy, if so-and-so gets elected, the world's going to be a darker place when we wake up. Newsflash, I have a prophecy for you. The world's going to be a darker place either way. Hello. Have you seen these candidates, people? Donald Trump's going to build a wall and deport half of us. The other one we can't even trust with our emails. It's bad. No. I'll hedge my bets on the kingdom of God, on the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the sovereign and almighty God. And I'm going to keep my nose to the grind to do the work he's called me to do, to pray and to serve and to live and to love and to represent his kingdom until I see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven in a greater way in my community. Because how many of you know we need to see more of that in Westchester? How many of you know we need to see more of that in Southern Connecticut? How many of you know we need to see more of that in this New York City area? God's kingdom more fully come on earth as it is in heaven. No, we're loyal to our country. Get out and vote. Do your civic duty. Be an influencer wherever God's called you to be an influencer. But here's the deal. We worship a different king. We're loyal to our country. God bless America. Thank God for this beautiful nation that we live in. But our highest calling, our greatest allegiance is to the kingdom and the king who's on the throne. So I want to pray for you this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you. God, we thank you that you are sovereign. God, we thank you that you are in charge. And God, you can't be shaken. Now, Lord, we thank you that we are blessed to live in this wonderful nation, this nation of opportunities, this nation of freedoms. And we thank you for that today. And we take a moment to lift our voice in prayer for our nation, God. Lord, we're asking you to have mercy on our nation. God, we're asking you to lead our nation. God, we're asking you to help lead our elected officials. Help guide them. God, we want people of wisdom. We want people of justice. We want people of character, people of integrity. But God, we want to see your kingdom more fully come in our nation. And God, we know you've ultimately left that work up to us. So every one of us, we make this personal. Lord, would you help us? Come on, would you pray with me? Lord, would you help me to be the kind of person who represents you, to be an ambassador? God, today I'm praying for every person in this place that you give them a greater revelation and a greater conviction of who you've called them to be, just who you've called them to be, a representative of your kingdom, that God, they carry your presence. They represent you, they're chosen, they're appointed, they have a job to do. And God, it's your kingdom business that we're about. It's your kingdom business that we're about. God, help us to do it by your Spirit. I pray it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen.